at my house last night, thanks heavens for DVR, because we had this sort of battle between 60 Minutes and some 24-hour sports channel. The NCAA Tournament March Madness ball brackets were set last night, and apparently it's quite a menagerie. Tar Heels, Tigers, Jayhawks, Bruins all taking the top spots at the big dance. Now, pro ball is a wee bit interesting as well, with the Houston Rockets on fire, or so the BPP sports analyst tells me. My husband, Bill Wolf. Good morning.
Good morning, Allison. Who won that battle between 60 Minutes and Sports?
I did.
Yeah, there you
60
go.
minutes. Thank
There
you
you
very
go. In the
much.
ultimate competition, you were the winner.
Thank y'all. So the usual suspects are in the top spots. Quickly, give me a laundry list, quickly.
North Carolina is excellent, always excellent, and will be excellent again this year. And if they were to win, no one would be surprised. Memphis
Do you need to
is
take that? You're at your office. Are you all right?
nothing is more important than this.
Okay.
Memphis is excellent. No one would be surprised. They've been excellent all year. They've won 30 games. No one would be surprised. Kansas is excellent again. No one would be surprised. UCLA is excellent. They were expected to be excellent. No one would be surprised. On the second shelf, Duke is good. Georgetown's good. Tennessee is good. None of these big powerhouses would surprise anybody by winning the whole thing. It would be a question of which one got hot for the next 3 weeks.
Let's talk about the surprises then. The tourney's going to open on Tuesday with a sort of unexpected participant, a team that actually lost a mess of games during the regular season, Coppin State.
I believe you're referring to Coppin State. Yeah, Coppin State lost 20 games during the regular season. They started the year 4-18, 4 wins and 18 losses, and you wouldn't think that they would qualify as one of the top 65 teams with a shot to win the national championship. But every conference has a, except for the Ivy League, has a conference tournament at the end of the regular season. And if you can win, if your team can win the conference tournament by winning usually 4 games in that tournament, no matter what you did leading up to that, you get an automatic bid into the Final 65, the March Madness, the NCAA tournament. And Coppin State became, by winning its conference tournament, the first team ever to lose 20 games and get in to the NCAA tournament.
So, am I wrong in thinking that after tomorrow we won't hear from Coppin State again?
My guess is that you won't. It would be a big story if they won tomorrow, and for their trouble, they would play North Carolina and be beaten, like a rented mule, as we used to like to say. Yes, I think Coppin State, the glory of Coppin State has already been achieved, and I do not expect further glory. But you know what? When you're Coppin State and you make it to the tournament, that's pretty good glory.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
65 teams involved at this point. There are a few stories that are interesting to you. I know there was this one team that had to rebuild after a murder.
Yeah. Baylor, in Waco, Texas, traditionally not a strong basketball school, sometimes a strong football school, but rarely a strong basketball school. Their program, the basketball program, was basically destroyed in 2003. A former player and a current player were involved in a terrible a tragedy, a murder. The coach wasn't wrapped up or implicated in the murder, but Dave Bliss was found to have lied to investigators about the status of the players, and Dave Bliss paid for one of the players' tuitions and accused the player of dealing drugs when the player hadn't done it. It was an unbelievable mess that left the Baylor program basically at zero, at starting over. Only 4 years ago, and Baylor somehow mustered the recruiting and the coaching and the playing to win 22 games this year, and wound up as the last team in the tournament, which is an amazing achievement to have gone from really not having a basketball program to being in March Madness in 4 years. I think Baylor is one of the overlooked feel-good stories. They came, I mean, they were finished, obliterated, wiped out. And here they are. They're back. It's unbelievable. They're better than they ever were. And it's a school with a 102-year basketball history. And I would say that this is their finest hour. So, again, I don't expect Baylor to go anywhere in the tournament or win the tournament or anything like that. But they've achieved, part of March Madness is achieving the glory of getting in. And of all the schools that got in, I think Baylor's experiencing the greatest glory, because I think it's an unlikely comeback.
Well, maybe the team that worked the hardest to get in, University of Georgia Bulldogs.
Oh, my Lord.
Lived up to their name this weekend. They had a rough one.
Well, they play in the Southeastern Conference. The Southeastern Conference tournament was at the Georgia Dome in downtown Atlanta, and everybody knows that Friday night, terrible weather and a tornado ripped right through downtown Atlanta, and that caused Georgia's game against Kentucky in the SEC Southeastern Conference Tournament to be delayed and moved on Saturday. They played the game instead of Friday night at the Georgia Dome on Saturday at Georgia Tech's gym, and the audience was restricted to cheerleaders, band members, and family members. So instead of playing in front of 35,000 people, there were a few hundred people in this otherwise empty gym, and Georgia had to beat Kentucky. And Georgia was lousy all year.
Were they lousy?
Lousy. And they beat Kentucky at noon on Saturday, which was quite an upset. They had to play a second game on Saturday against Mississippi State. They were again an underdog that afternoon, same gym, same small crowd, and again by upset, by miracle three-point shot at the last second, Georgia beats Mississippi State. Now they're in the championship game yesterday against Arkansas. Again, same gym, same small crowd, this surreal setting. And if Georgia beats Arkansas, Georgia, who had a terrible year, lost 10 of 11 between mid-February and early mid-January and early March. So they went 6 weeks and basically won one game, had no right expecting to go to the NCAA tournament. If they could beat Arkansas, which would be their fourth win in three calendar days, they would go to the tournament. And lo and behold, if the Georgia Bulldogs there in Georgia didn't beat Arkansas and make the tournament, it was the story, the qualifying story that made the most headlines yesterday was Georgia winning the Southeastern Conference and getting into the tournament despite having had a rotten year. And they're another team I don't expect to go anywhere. But again,
it's a good story, though. It's a good story for today.
It's not going to be the story at the end of March Madness, but the thing about March Madness is there are great stories at the beginning and then throughout.
Okay, my favorite story of the weekend. We were watching Saturday night, talking to Bill Wolf, sports analyst, my husband. The twins, I said, who are those guys with the crazy hair?
It's, yeah, you like the guy with the crazy
hair. The twins who are on Stanford's team, these 7-foot twins.
Yeah, they're twins, and they're 7 feet tall. They're called Brooke and Robin Lopez, and they come from San Joaquin High School in, I believe, in Fresno. And they're sophomores. They were recruited together. They're these excellently geeky guys. They love animation. They're obsessed with Disney movies, and they draw and they study comic books. And then they're these excellent basketball players, and they've got Stanford. Stanford almost beat UCLA, which would have been an upset, to win the Pacific 10 Conference Tournament. And Stanford's in the big dance with the Robin and Brooke Lopez, both of whom will probably be pro ball players. So you have babies. They're twins. That's nice. Oh, look how cute they are. Soon enough, they're 7 feet tall, both of them, and they're both athletically inclined, and they're both at Stanford playing, you know, in the NCAA tournament, and that's what's happening.
I know that's your dream. It's not coming true, by the way.
You know what? Let me hold out for that, will you? Don't destroy me this early in the experience.
Let's talk about pro sports quickly. You got about a minute left. The Houston Rockets beat the Lakers. They are having this crazy winning streak, the Rockets.
The second best one ever.
But under circumstances that nobody thought they would have a crazy winning streak.
So they've got a guy called Tracy McGrady who is totally excellent. Sort of a poor man's Kobe Bryant, an outstanding 6'8" player who can do everything, incredibly athletic and great player, but always thought to be playing a little bit less well than he should. They also have Yao Ming, 7'5" guy everybody knows. With Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady, they won 12 games in a row about a month ago. And that made some sense. It's reasonable to think that with Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady, you could win 12 in a row. Then Yao Ming was lost for the year with a stress fracture in his foot.
Got about 30 seconds.
And the Houston Rockets have won 10 more straight games. They have now won 22 straight games out of nowhere with no Yao Ming. And, yes, Tracy McGrady is outstanding, but there are names on that team that nobody except real big basketball fans would know. Rafer Alston and Shane Battier, guys who aren't great players, are suddenly playing inspired basketball, and the Houston Rockets have gone from not really mattering to being in first place in the NBA. It's something else. 22 straight for the Houston Rockets.
It is.
Keep your eyes on it this week. They've got the Boston Celtics Tuesday night, and that might be the end of the streak.
BPP sports analyst Bill Wolf, thanks for checking in.
You got it.